And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation, that would be Alabama. I'm talking about this show goes way on down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. Well, listen, so, those of y'all been with the show for even 5 minutes know that I spent 8 years in the Alabama State Senate. And in 2012, we passed in the early days of people realizing what the southern border was becoming, we passed a state law. It was known as the Beeson-Hammond Act, named after State Senator Scott Beeson and then Representative Mickey Hammond. They were the ones who sponsored it. But the Beeson-Hammond Act was basically, it was a stab at saying, hey, federal government, if you're not going to enforce your own laws, we'll do it for you. Well, look around us now. States are doing things like Texas and Florida, and others are doing things right now. And yet, you can imagine, back then, I've told you before, there were protests in the Capitol, in the State House. We were being, you know, shoved around in the hallways. I mean, it was just screaming an end of the world kind of stuff. And then, of course, the ACLU, the Southern Poverty Law Center, all of them took us to court, and parts of it went away. Well, I could not remember for the life of me where it stands right now. So we passed the act, and then I know it went to court, and then I know that parts of it were blocked, and the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals, I think, blocked several. Anyway, the bottom line is this. The Alabama Policy Institute exists to provide good, credible research and information about matters of conservative public policy. And so I asked Stephanie Smith yesterday, can you guys take a look and see where we stand? I mean, what parts of the law are still intact, and what's out there, and how's it compare to Florida's new law? And lo and behold, here we are. Justin Bogey, analyst with the Alabama Policy Institute, is on the phone right now, did some research overnight. Hey, Justin, how you doing, man?
Hey, Phil, I'm doing well. It's good to be with you this afternoon.
Yeah, thank you for making some time, buddy. I appreciate that. Listen, I got a copy. Stephanie forwarded me what you were able to put together. So there are parts of that law that still are intact, but there are parts that were enjoined permanently, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. And I can just run through some of that if you want me to. But, you know, basically in 2013, as you mentioned, the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals said that certain parts couldn't stand. The state reached an agreement with, some of the interested parties that had filed lawsuits against us. And those provisions that were repealed, there was a requirement that schools had to verify the immigration status of new students. That went away. There was a penalty for basically if you went and tried to solicit an unauthorized immigrant from working, you could be held criminally liable for that. You couldn't provide a ride or provide a lease to an illegal immigrant at the time under the original law, and that was repealed. No one was allowed to enter into contracts with undocumented aliens. And there was one that made it a crime to fail to register your immigration status. You're supposed to register that federally. I can't imagine there's a whole lot of illegal immigrants who are, you know, wanting to admit that they're in the country illegally and going through that process. But that was one of them. But several parts are still on the books, at least. It's hard to tell exactly how strictly they're being enforced, but there are some, if you want me to run through those as well.
Yeah, let's talk about the parts that were blocked first. So bottom line is, at one point, I remember this, we had it down, because there were school systems where some communities had a massive influx of undocumented migrants, and they were, I remember meeting with one school superintendent, and he told me, he said, you know, we don't want to turn kids away. He said, but we recently couldn't hire another teacher because we had to hire an interpreter instead. And you know, you look at that kind of stuff, you think, man, this is burdensome. So, yeah, the school systems were being told you have to verify status, and that went away. Now schools are not verifying status per se.
That's great. And you can imagine the strain that's put on school systems.
Well, and the other piece about, you know, hiring people or soliciting them to work, I mean, you can't just go – you know, see a group of guys standing downtown and pull up and ask them, do you want to work on my farm today or something like that, which, I mean, truthfully, that happens. It's just a fact of life. But you're not supposed to do that now without checking their status here as an illegal or non-illegal alien.
The law actually made it a crime in the flow of traffic or something like that as you were trying to you know, get someone to come work with you for the day or whatever the case may have been. But that portion went away as well.
Wow. Okay. All right. So several pieces of this did go away, but there's still some of it that's there. I mean, there's still things that deal with employers and law enforcement and all that. So run down the list of what still stands in the law.
Sure. One of the more, you know, attention grabbing at the time was this provision that basically, you know, a police officer could stop someone and ask them for their status. You know, that's been rolled back a little bit. You have to have a reason to conduct a traffic stop or an arrest or a detention. But at that point, police officers can still try to ascertain their immigration status. At that point, the proof of residency before someone can vote, that remained. And I think the legislature actually recodified that back in 2020, I believe. So that one's still on the books. They cannot receive state or local government benefits. You know, I believe they still can receive federal benefits. Of course, that's a different story, but that certainly puts a strain on state resources either way. And then this is one that's similar to something Florida is doing. There's a requirement that employers must use the E-Verify system, employers of all sizes. In Florida, it's more than 25 employees, I believe. But in Alabama, any employer is supposed to go through that process and verify the immigration status before they hire someone. You know, other ones of note, illegal immigrants are barred from attending public universities. Florida had something similar education-related, but they kind of pared it back. And then this is an interesting one. Now, I don't know if it's actually, you know, happening or not, but the Alabama Department of Homeland Security has the authority to actually hire officers to enforce the immigration laws of the 2021 Act. I mean, 2011 Act. You haven't heard a lot about it, but that's still on the books.
Yeah, that's so a lot of folks don't realize we actually have an Alabama Department of Homeland Security, and I remember that. We put a provision in there saying that they were authorized to hire immigration officers, like purely dedicated to the question of immigration enforcement. But you know, I think some of the ones you just named, I'm glad to see they're still in there, but I think it's also interesting because barring illegal immigrants from enrolling in public universities, well, that's because they're paid for with tax dollars. And granted, you pay tuition to be there, but then again, they're also subsidized with tax dollars.
Right, they're getting heavy subsidies. I mean, look at the education trust fund budget.
Yeah.
It's a whole lot of money that we're putting towards public universities.
Oh, yeah, higher ed's got their teeth in that one. But yes, but it's, yeah. But then the one about state or local government benefits, I thought that was one of the best pieces in there because what it basically means is they can't come here and consume benefits that are state funded. And that, does that apply to things even though they may have federal match dollars attached to them like Medicaid or do you know, or like a SNAP or the WIC program?
I don't know exactly how it would work because my understanding is that they can take part in those federal Medicaid, and I believe they can get some of those you know, other assistance programs under federal law, but I assume they wouldn't get the state matching portion of that or something along those lines. It's sort of unclear.
Well, but so I remember when we passed this, and this was probably one of the more explosive times in the 8 years I was down there, maybe the most explosive. I mean, the level of tension in the State House, the number of protesters, the people lining the hallways and trying to block us from getting down the hall to vote, and just, you know, on and on and on, calling us names, and it was ridiculous. Now, you worked in Montgomery for a period of time. Do you recall, were you in the State House when this happened?
You know, I was there when the bill was actually passed, and I have a vague recollection of, you know, people lining the halls and us being told to stay in our offices and some of that. Now, I believe some of the really more robust protests kind of happened later in early 2012, kind of after the dust had settled a little bit, and they started trying to get the legislature to roll some of this back. So I may have missed, certainly remember the tensions that were going on and really, you know, that was hanging around the State House at the time. It was, you know, certainly something you wouldn't forget.
No, I don't. I distinctly remember getting elbowed in the ribs intentionally by someone who was trying to keep me from getting down the hall to vote. All right, how do we compare? Like, by the way, I think we were ahead of our time. I mean, this is 12 years ago we passed this thing, or maybe 10, anyway, somewhere thereabouts.
Yeah, about 12 years ago now, yeah.
We were about a decade ahead of most everybody else in terms of passing something like this. And granted, it went to court. But now you see Florida just this past week signed into law a pretty major piece of legislation that's in many ways very similar to what we passed 10 years ago. What do you know about that?
Yeah, you're right. And I would actually say, you know, at the time that before it was kind of pared back, the Alabama law was really stronger than Florida's and probably stronger than what any other state has attempted to do since then. But yeah, the Florida law certainly strengthens their policies. And as I alluded to, they've put this E-Verify policy position in there so that you have to check if you have more than 25 employees, you have to ensure the immigration status. If a business does hire illegal aliens knowingly, they can have their business license suspended.
Wow.
It increases penalties for human smuggling, which is obviously a pretty big issue down in Florida, you know, helping people get across from you know, other countries or across the border. This is an interesting one that seems to be getting a lot of attention. So if a hospital receives federal Medicare, Medicaid reimbursement, they now.
Did we lose him? I think we just lost him. Well, I know the bullet point he was going for. Hey, Justin, if you can hear me, we can't hear you, bud, but I'll go ahead and wrap this up. He's right. Hospitals that receive federal and state Medicaid reimbursements must now collect and report the amount of money spent for illegal immigrants in the emergency room. So what they're saying is they want to track it. They want to know for a fact, how much money are we spending? And that's good because, you know, part of that is you need to be able to, when later on when they say, oh, you're just looking for a problem to fit your solution. No, here's the proof that we have a problem. One of the other pieces of the Florida law that I think is great is out-of-state driver's licenses that are issued to illegals in another state like California, they are not valid in Florida. That makes sense. You are already, so basically they're not providing any of what's known as comity, C-O-M-I-T-Y, or reciprocity, however you want to say it. The bottom line is we accept a Georgia driver's license. We accept a Florida driver's license. We accept a California driver's license, but they're not going to accept it if somebody does not have legal documentation. So you cannot use that photo ID for something if you've already been shown to also be in the country illegally. Well, listen, he lost his signal apparently and got cut off, but I ought to say, Justin Bogie, thank you for looking that up. I'm glad to find that the law that we passed a decade ago is still largely in effect. There are portions of it that were some of the toughest parts, like making the schools have to also verify status of the kids that are in the schools. Those got enjoined by the courts. I remember the Supreme Court did not hear Alabama's appeal on the 11th Circuit's issues, but nonetheless, the U.S. Supreme Court, but nonetheless, the bulk of it remained in place. And I think we led the way in some ways. All right, listen, we're going to take a break right now. We will come right back and sort of keep this going. Bama on the border. So what did our lieutenant governor just say about what he thinks that Alabama should be doing? And by the way, what's the latest on the border, and what's our U.S. delegation having to say about it? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back.